Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with Cade Orris. Cade, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
We've got another really big show for you today, so lock in and prepare to feel entertained and informed. We are also joined today by this obnoxious and angry pimple on my forehead.
Oh, is that where you got... Where you hit your head? Also?
No, this is just...
A different spot?
Just a straight-up zit, dude.
Okay, yeah, it is... Just asking to be popped right now.
I can't do it, though.
You're not supposed
to. You gotta know better.
Yeah.
Like, that never works out. Ever. Yeah. Even when you're like, okay, this one is clearly primed. Stop staring at it, first of all.
Oh, sorry.
Stop making direct eye contact with it. You're just making it more angry. But, like, you know when you've got one like this where it's, like, in prime face real estate and you're just like, oh, Christ, I can't fucking...
You can't step outside.
Yeah, I don't want to go out like this. But... It looks ready to pop, and you're like, I'm just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's even more, like, somehow the fully formed, ready-to-pop pimple is less shitty. Now Cade can't look at me. Is less shitty than the after, like, the when you've popped it, and then it's just like this gaping thing that then scabs over. So I thought acne was going to be like a puberty only thing. Like that was the impression I was under as a kid. Like, oh, you're in high school going through puberty. You'll have pimples and whatnot. It'll be really annoying. Some people get it much worse than others. And then you'll move on with your life and your skin will be perfect as an adult. And that is absolutely not the case. Yeah. It turns out it just comes and goes.
You're just not doing your skincare, are you?
I am doing, that's the fucking frustrating thing about it. I've been doing my skincare, man. But I think it's because, like, kids don't help.
No, they're touching their face and you don't know where their hands have been.
They're putting their grubby little hands all over my face and causing me to break out. It's really great. But in positive kid news, though, my son RJ took his first steps this week. He turns 1 year old on Saturday. So right at the 1 year mark, he's achieving... like primate mobility, I guess. We're primates, right?
Yes, we do come from apes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like around the time they start to walk as 1 year old? I don't know.
Like, I mean, it's like
the timeline for when they do their first.
Some kids get going a little earlier. Like I've heard people whose kid starts walking at like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, usually around like the 1 year mark is, I think, pretty standard. Some kids, it's like a year and a half. Every kid is different. Same thing with talking. Like you never really know. Some kids start blabbering earlier than others. But it was really cool watching him actually. He strung like 6 or 7 steps together. Like nobody holding him, not using anything to support himself. And you could see how fucking stoked he was. Like he was so pumped. And it's a shame, really, that we don't remember being babies because like walking for the first time has to be such an incredible high. Like you've just spent months watching your parents walking around, just yelling, God damn it, get back here. Just biding your time, studying everyone moving around you, seeing how they walk, building up your muscles, learning to stand, steadying your balance, mustering the strength, and finally you achieve mobility on foot. It has to feel amazing. And think about all the firsts you get to discover as a baby. I mean, literally everything you do for a while is the first time you've ever done it. But then there's like these big milestone moments like walking and talking and then you forget. Like you don't remember being a baby, do you?
No, not at all.
Nobody does.
I don't remember anything like before I was 6 maybe.
Dude, even like the 4-year-old, I asked my stepdaughter, I'm like, do you remember this thing from when you were 2? And she's like, no. Like it's pretty quick that you lose those early memories, I guess, to make way for less fulfilling and depressing ones. But yeah, it's like
they gotta go somewhere. Gotta toss those old memories out. You know?
I guess so, but it's a shame because seriously, like that has to be like the first time you try like a donut. I wish I remembered that, or a kolache, or any good food.
Any pastry.
Food is a big one because there's so many different foods, and you like you know we gave RJ like a lemon the other day for the first time, which because we were trying to get him to do the funny face that babies make. They make super bitter beer face when they have a lemon, you know, like, meh. But he didn't do it. He was just like, tight, thanks. He's totally unmoved by the lemon's bitterness. But yeah, there's just things you'll do so much later. And like walking is a good example. Like the first time you walk has to be incredible. But then like a few years down the line, that's just a thing you do. You take totally for granted. And it just becomes the norm. When the first time you did it, it blew your fucking mind, and that makes me sad. It's a weird thing that I'm, you know, spending time thinking about now that I'm watching a baby do all these things, like do all these human activities for the first time. I'm like, damn, it's a bummer. I can't remember this shit.
I'm sure it was a great feeling watching your kid walk for the first time, followed by the terrible realization that your kid can finally walk now.
Yeah, I mean. Everybody tells me that's, you know, like, it's awesome and then it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But he's so fast crawling everywhere anyway. Like, I'm having to chase him around with, like, 75% of my life now. So, I don't know that it's going to make that big of a difference.
Have you baby-proofed anything?
Oh, everything,
Has it been that way for...
For a while. Ever since he really started getting going crawling, like, we had to put up, like, gates on the stairs and all of our, like, you know... power outlets on the walls are baby proofed
like
and whatnot
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're not even covered. They're just like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, there's something about the ones that we have at the house, the ones that we got installed that are like already baby proof. So you don't have to plug the holes with like a little plastic piece. Like if he comes to Bowling Media, we have to plug the fucking holes because they're not baby-proof outlets here for whatever reason. I don't really know what the difference is.
Yeah, no, not a safe environment for children, the Bowling Media household.
No, just cameras and lights and microphones and shit everywhere. Not really ideal for the kids. But yeah, so RJ's getting moving. I've almost, as of, you know, I guess like 3 more days, when it hits Saturday, I will have successfully kept him alive for an entire calendar year, which is a big achievement. I always, you know, just like everybody else who doesn't have kids, when you have to attend like children's birthday parties or you see one of your friends has a kid that turns like 1 or you see somebody like celebrating like their kid turning 6 months or they're like, oh, 7 months with little Sarah. How special. And you're just like, what the fuck is this? Like you're going to count every month. But now as a parent, I get it because it's really about you. It's not about them. You're not really celebrating. Like he's 1. He doesn't have a fucking clue what being 1 year old means. You're celebrating that you have accomplished the feat of being a parent for a full year.
And keeping that child alive.
Keeping that thing alive and well. That's what you're celebrating. So it's just another one of those moments where I'm like, I feel bad for judging parents before. Another example would be like when I would go to restaurants, you know, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, I'd go to restaurants and I'd see a family at a table with like a little kid and the little kid would just have like a fucking iPad stuck in front of him, like watching Blue's Clues or whatever, Blippi, Bluey, some combination of those. And I would judge them like, oh, come on. You're giving your kids stuck to the screen out at the restaurant. You can't have a family night out without bringing the damn iPad with you. But now I understand. I completely get it. The kids are insane. And if you have to stick the iPad in front of them to enjoy the meal,
gotta distract them a little bit.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
Are they not doing the crowns and playmat anymore? Where you can like, you know, do little word searches and mazes and all that?
I think they gotta get a little older before those are effective. You know, but like, I mean, seriously, if you're that's part of the problem. If you're choosing between the children's placemat that you can draw on, do the maze, they give you a little pack of crayons or whatever, or like the power of the internet in the palm of your hand, you're picking the fucking iPad every single time, you know? So
see, that's the thing. I would probably choose the playmat with the crowns.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just color.
It comes full circle like that. That's the circle of life, kid. I'm with you, though. I'm with you. If I'm at a restaurant and they've got the kids' play mats, I might grab one for myself, you know? Speaking of technology, my great aunt, so it's like it's my mom's aunt.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if technically that's my great aunt, but that's what I call her. She's having an absolutely awful time on Facebook. And I think I've brought this up before. Like, at one point, she and several of my older relatives, mm-hmm. more aged relatives, were all posting this same fucking block of text on Facebook as their status that was basically saying, Facebook now has the ability to take and own all of your photos or something like that, and you have to put this post up in order to keep them from doing it. It was just total nonsense. Like, I couldn't figure out what it is that would motivate anybody to start this rumor that you had to post this block of text as your status to avoid something with Facebook. And then the running theory became that, like, this is a way for scammers to identify gullible people. Like, if you're stupid enough to think that this is how it works, mm-hmm. or, like, I guess I shouldn't say stupid enough. If you're technology ignorant enough to think that this is how it would work, then you're clearly somebody that would be easily susceptible to a scam. And my great aunt put one up this week. When I spend a little bit more time on Facebook nowadays because I'm kind of monitoring how our show's Facebook page does and stuff like that. My great aunt put one up. It says, this is her status. I'm just going to read it. Apparently, someone has found another way to hurt and offend people for no reason. Here is a heads up for everyone. There is a new hack on FB. It includes a hurtful phrase coming from you. It is usually very dirty and appears that you have written it. You will not see it, but your friends will. This creates many misunderstandings. So to all of my contacts, if anything shocking, inappropriate, or indecent shows up, it's not from me. You may wish to copy this to your wall. And then a series of emojis expressing frustration.
I do love the emojis she used for this one.
It's like the huffing and puffing one, and followed by the huffing and puffing one.
The facepalm, then just like your mind.
The mind-blowing?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And I'm just like, okay, so part of my question is like, if you genuinely believe that this is a thing, that there's some new hack on Facebook where people are going to post dirty things from your profile, but that you won't be able to see it, but everyone else will, wouldn't you just delete your Facebook profile at that point? Like, why are you on this app if you think that's a real possibility?
Yeah. To me, it kind of seems like your great aunt just wants an excuse to post offensive shit.
Yeah. She wants to put up like porn gifs as her Facebook status, mm-hmm. I think. That's what's happening here. Anyway, Facebook continues to be just a bewildering and strange experience. Because you got like every generation on there. It's really the only social media app that everyone is on. Like my papaw's on there.
Right. And it's crazy that it started out as like a place just for college kids, and now look at it.
Yeah, Zuckerberg was just trying to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a shit show.
Place of misinformation. Yeah, and you only see it on Facebook too. Like, you don't see those types of posts on Instagram or Twitter.
No, because you need an excessive amount of boomers for that to work.
Right.
Because they're easily confused by the mm-hmm. internet. They didn't grow up with it like a lot of us did.
Yeah. Also love, like, there's someone commented under your post with a couple more examples.
Oh, yeah.
The one where, no, he was saying charging like $5 a month.
I do not give permission to Facebook to charge $4.99 a month to my account.
Yeah. And then someone like explains how to like copy a post and paste it to your own.
Yeah. Hold page. Your finger anywhere in this post and click copy.
Which is great, like, if you're on your phone, but, like, you know there's just some boomer on there, like, on their
pressing their computer
home computer, yeah, like, why is this not working?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
The desktop computer, just a giant, like, early 2000s desktop computer.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. This is the other one. All of my pictures are property of myself and not Facebook, which is already just not true. Like, we knew, and we've known for many, many years, anything you put up on Instagram or Facebook, it becomes partially theirs. Like, I don't know what they have the right to use it for, but...
I mean, it's out there for anyone to use, really.
Just ridiculous, though, that there's so many of these on Facebook, and I can't stop thinking about them when I see them. Also, it turns out we learned absolutely nothing from the Titanic disaster. We just keep pushing the envelope with these fucking cruise ships, man. Like, all right, you've been watching the NFL playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the commercial for this new monstrosity they've launched called the Icon of the Seas?
I have not, actually.
It is a massive, massive, massive cruise ship. It's actually the world's largest cruise ship now. It's the size of almost four city blocks, and it began its maiden voyage from the port of Miami on this past Saturday. This thing is ridiculous. Again, Icon of the Seas is what it's called if you want to Google it and check out some of the pictures. But it runs 1,200 feet from bow to stern. Those are ship terms, Kate.
Okay.
It's divided into eight neighborhoods across 20 different decks. It features six record-breaking water slides. Not what? Just water slides.
What records is they don't break? Say, they don't say.
They don't specify which records these water slides broke, but all six are apparently record-breaking water slides. Seven swimming pools, an ice skating rink. That's why people go on cruises, to go ice skating, obviously. A theater, more than 40 restaurants, bars, and lounges, also nine whirlpools to go with the seven swimming pools, because you got to have both.
Yeah.
It can accommodate 5,610 guests, plus 2,350 crew members.
So what, like $8,000?
It's roughly 8,000 people.
Yeah, 8,000 people.
On one gigantic boat. It says it's powered by six dual-fuel engines, which can be powered by liquefied natural gas, a fuel alternative the Cruise Lines International Association says reduces sulfur and greenhouse gas emissions. However, environmental groups have raised concerns that LNG-powered ships increase harmful methane emissions because nothing good can happen is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
No matter how much you try to improve, there's just some other problem. It's like with the electric cars. Remember when electric vehicles first came out, they were like, oh, this is great, we're going to save the world. And then for a few years there, they were like, except that making the batteries for these is actually incredibly damaging to the environment. I think they've figured some of that out at this point, but like it was a problem at first. Brian Comer, the director of the Marine Program of the International Council on Clean Transportation, otherwise known as the ICCT, told Reuters, quote, it's a step in the wrong direction, end quote.
I mean, but they're reducing the sulfur and the greenhouse gas, so like they're doing something right.
But more methane.
But more methane.
Yeah.
Well, which is worse, the sulfur or the methane?
That's a good question.
I don't have that.
For a scientist, yeah. Not for a podcaster.
Maybe for the...
Maybe a podcasting scientist.
Yeah.
But not for me is what I'm saying.
Gotcha, yeah. Also, I kind of feel like this ends with the ship at the bottom of the sea.
I kind of hope it does for some reason. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not going to wish death on 8,000 people, yeah. but the boat itself, it deserves to go down.
Yeah.
Like, there's different, like, biomes in this thing. They've got an aquadome, Central Park, something called Chill Island. Really creative name there.
Yeah.
Royal Promenade, which looks like it's the ice skating rink. Surfside, the Sweet Neighborhood, which... Frankly, the photo of every other biome gives you some idea of what you're dealing with. I don't know. I have no clue what the Sweet Neighborhood is.
Sounds pretty sweet, though.
Yeah. The Hideaway, and then Thrill Island, which is where a bunch of these record-breaking water slides are.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I wish it said what the record is, what the records are that they broke with these water slides.
Yeah, I need to know.
but it doesn't say. My wife has been trying to talk me into, like, doing a cruise at some point. She says they're super fun. And I just can't imagine a circumstance where I would voluntarily put myself on a floating, you know, disaster
like
waiting to
yeah.
happen like this with 8,000 people.
Because
no yeah. matter how many record-breaking water slides there are, kid.
There's not a number of record-breaking water slides that would get you to go on it.
I don't think so, you know? Maybe yeah. if there was a zip line, a record-breaking zip line.
That goes, like, just across the,
yeah.
the entire
Yeah, that
deck.
I could get behind.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I just want to drop into the water from the zip line. That's what I'm there for, if
yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, see, my problem is, I think if I ever was to go on a cruise, where either the ship is going down, or, like, we're just going to be stranded out at sea... And
surrounded
then,
by your own poop and piss, because that's what happens. The toilets
yeah.
overflow.
And then, all the food's going to run out, and then we have to start
eating each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be my cruise experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stay away from it.
So you've never been on one?
Nope, never have been, and probably never will.
I've made it to 36 without setting foot on a cruise ship. I feel like I can power through
keep that going,
to at least old age.
Yeah.
Because I get it as a, like as an old person, maybe that's an ideal vacation. You don't have to leave the ship. Everything's in one place. You got record-breaking water slides. But no mention of a casino, I would note, on this thing, with all the different shit they've got. Don't cruise ships usually have, like, some type of casino situation? That was my understanding, anyway. Maybe this is more of a family ship than a gaming ship.
Possibly, yeah.
Mm, sad. Very unfair. Anyway, as the first month of the year comes to an end, you might be realizing that you've already abandoned all your New Year's resolutions to completely change yourself into an entirely different and new person. The good news is you are not alone. So don't worry about reinventing yourself in this new year. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. Today's episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV hydrates two times faster than water alone, all in a single sugar-free stick. So you can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on whatever life throws your way. We have a massive supply of Liquid IV here at Bolin Media, which makes us perhaps the most hydrated media company in the entire world. And Liquid IV is been one of our longest running sponsors, supporting your favorite Bolin Media shows for years now. We love Liquid IV. It's delicious, it's effective, and it's hydrating. What more can you ask for? One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, no artificial sweeteners, and zero sugar. Contains eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Replaces sugar with a proprietary amino acid allulose blend, which is a naturally occurring sweetener with the same sweet taste and texture one can expect from table sugar. Rehydrate yourself all year long. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco. Or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ROSS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code ROSS, R-O-S-S, at liquidiv.com. We've got a local story for you now that serves as a reminder of why Gus Fring never sold product directly out of Los Pollos Hermanos. It says police in Central Texas say a Dairy Queen was the site of a methamphetamine ring. Have you ever been to Dairy Queen?
Yeah, there's one right across the street.
Yeah, it wasn't that one. Unfortunately.
Okay, that's good.
But what'd you get? Do you remember?
I get the chicken strip basket.
Yeah, I feel that's the only thing I'll get there, too. They got decent burgers.
Yeah, but, like, again, I like what I like, and I just get it every single time.
Chicken strip guy, too, man. I eat like a small child whenever the opportunity presents itself. Right. Also, the blizzards are...
Yeah, always getting quite, the blizzard as well.
Quite good. Yeah. The chocolate chip cookie dough one. Yeah.
Why do they... I still don't understand why they... Well, I know why they do it, but like when they you get a blizzard and they like flip it over
to show you it's truly cold.
Yeah, but like I don't care about like that. Like just hand me my fucking ice cream.
It's kind of like how at Chick-fil-A they don't say you're welcome.
They say my pleasure.
Yeah, it's just branding.
Yeah, but like has it ever like fallen
out? Have they ever done it and it just fucking the whole thing falls out? Like, be right back.
Yeah, let me get you another one.
Let's try that again. Yeah. That one wasn't quite cold enough. Anyway, this particular Dairy Queen became a methamphetamine dealer spot. It says this month in what they've dubbed Operation Blizzard, Clifton police say they arrested 10 people. First of all.
Great name.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff there.
They use their heads on that one.
Yeah, whoever comes up with the operation names, normally they're lame. Mm-hmm. This is perfect. This is perfect. They arrested 10 people, it says. As of last Friday, police say none of the suspects is still employed at that Dairy Queen. Wow, that's shocking. They arrested 10 people for moving meth out of a Dairy Queen, and they all got fired. Police
but, like, that seems like it has to be most of, like that has to be all the employees.
All of the staff?
Yeah, there's just like one high school student still there that like didn't have a clue what was going on. She was just like making some blizzards to make some extra money.
Yeah, I feel like maybe a couple people on each shift, you know,
were the
meth dealers or something like that. Mm-hmm. It says police didn't say how many of the arrested were actual employees there. Okay, so they arrested 10 people total. Some of those 10 people were dealing out of the Dairy Queen. It says in June, Clifton police say they received information that several people were selling meth at their place of employment, and their subsequent investigation revealed that it was the local Dairy Queen. Police Chief Chris Blanton said in a social media post, Clifton PD officers were able to set up undercover drug buys from this location on numerous occasions. This led us to finding out that these individuals were also selling drugs at other locations around Clifton. So meth dealers also employed at a Dairy Queen. And I feel like this is a common thing, not the Dairy Queen part necessarily, but there was like a Gaddy's Pizza in San Marcos, Texas, when I went to Texas State University, and one of the local cocaine dealers sold blow out the back of the Gaddy's Pizza. So he'd be like on his shift in there making pizza, getting text messages like, yo, can I get an eight ball?
And then
Then he'd just run out the back and grab your cash and give you your drugs. And this is what I heard. I don't, you know, it's not from firsthand experience. No, it is. It's absolutely from firsthand experience. But that was always so weird. I was like, you're a Coke dealer, dude, do you really need to hold down this job at Gaddy's Pizza as well? But I think it's like, you need,
it's a front.
Yeah, you need a paper trail for the IRS. Like, I have a real job, look, but I also sell Coke out the back. It seems like shitting where you eat, that kind of thing. Like, you're mixing too much business with pleasure. But anyway, that was just an example. I think it happens a lot, though, where people know, like, oh, there's this certain spot where this dude that works there also sells drugs. So that's less conspicuous, too.
I feel like it makes it more conspicuous. You're just running out.
There's always cars coming and going.
Yeah.
From the fast food joints, So it's like if it's like selling out of your apartment and there's always cars coming and going, it's a little bit weirder. And all your neighbors are like, "What the fuck?"
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you've got something going on. Also, I just feel like being an undercover cop has to be pretty fucking tight sometimes. Like in certain scenarios. This being one of them. Like, I would love to be put on this case and have to go undercover and score meth at Dairy Queen.
And a blizzard.
Let me get a blizzard and you got some crank back there?
Yeah.
Got a little ice?
You think, like...
Your boy's looking for that magic. What is the name of the meth in Breaking Bad? You remember what they brand it?
No. I know it was like...
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
Let me get some of that Blue Sky.
Yeah, do you think they, like, had, like... when you won some math, you like was
say
be
a
like
special
something
thing
like,
at the menu.
Yeah, it'd be like on the secret menu or like a discontinued item.
That's a good question.
So,
yeah.
So like the people there knew what you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this kind of sucks for the people that were getting their meth at Dairy Queen because it was a one stop shop
for all
to
their needs.
Blizzards and meth. Yeah.
I feel like it sucks more for people who were regularly eating at that Dairy Queen and didn't know that it was also. A meth dealership.
Yeah. So they weren't cooking there. They were just selling it.
That would have been tight, though.
Yeah.
If they converted the Dairy Queen kitchen into a meth lab.
Yeah. Chicken tenders had a little extra kick in them,
Just could explode at any moment. That's a risk. Another thing I wanted to bring up, I saw... You know when you go to Dave & Buster's, or not just Dave & Buster's, the Papa Shot, the little basketball hoop... That, you put 50 cents in and the balls roll down the ramp and then you see how many shots you can make in a given amount of time. And there's different game modes you can pick, like the one where the basket's constantly moving back and forth, or the one where every time you hit a shot it moves, or the one where it just stays in the back and you make as many as you can. I fucking love that game. Obviously, I've talked about Dave & Buster's a lot on this show. I used to go at least once a year with my grandma growing up. And absolutely loved it. Spent a lot of time playing Papa Shot. But now there is a version of Papa Shot you can purchase for your home that costs $50,000. Which I'm just like, is this, they basically made this for Drake?
Yes, or just like people that have too much money don't know what to do with it.
$50,000, bro? Come on. God damn. This is a story from hypebeast.com where hope goes to die. It says, aside from its core apparel offerings, Reigning Champ has been keen on expanding its portfolio through unique homewares. So Reigning Champ is like a brand.
Yeah. Wait, why do you say hypebeast is where hope goes to die?
Because it has a bunch of stories like this that make me just like fear for humanity's future. It says, previously, the brand tossed up a white boxing bag and gloves with Everlast, connected with Modernica for mid-century-inspired chairs, and even releases its own mini hoop on occasion. Now the brand is back for more, this time revealing a home-court arcade basketball game. Whether it be arcade chains like Dave & Buster's or a local arcade, most are familiar with the Papa Shot basketball game. So Reigning Champ decided to put its own spin on the fun arcade game. But what elevates the game is Reigning Champ teaming up with the Canadian industrial designer Kaylin Knopf. As such, the two entities have worked together to add a contemporary yet minimalist edge to the home court game. Comprising its clean build are composite wood panels, tempered glass, and metal. It says, with home court, the materials converge to make a functional game that also nods to the precision and elevation of artwork. And it does look like
it looks, yeah, it looks really cool.
It's sick. Like, the sides are completely glass and see-through. Like, all the basketballs are, like, off-white colored. And it's all, like, it's clean. This thing is fucking clean. But I still am not understanding how you put a $50,000 price tag on it. Like, I don't think it cost $10,000 to make this fucking thing.
No. Yeah, I think it's just more so for the name.
Yeah, for sure.
That's attached to it. Because you can get some really nice ones for, I mean, if you really wanted to ball out for like $1,000, you get something kind of similar. Or,
what?
Yeah, you Google Pop a Shot and you can find some good ones.
I know what I'm asking for Christmas on my 40th birthday.
There you go.
Or on my 40th birthday.
Or you can just get a really shitty one for $200 and it operates the same.
It says a special note is the game's build replicates the sounds of playing on a hardwood basketball court.
Yeah. See that.
No specifics, though. Additional touches include a white hoop, net, and basketballs. Priced at $50,000, reigning champs, made-to-order home court arcade basketball game is available now for pre-order online. So if you want to get in there, Cade.
Yeah, no, I think I'll...
Drop a quick $50,000.
Yeah, no, this will be in Drake's house pretty soon, I feel like.
I would just send him one if I was them.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So he'd post about it online. Then all the other rappers won it. That's what they did with like the Maybach back in the day. Just give one to Hove, dude. Get everybody else to want one.
That started that.
I don't know if he was. Might have been Rick Ross.
Yeah, that's kind of when I attached the Maybach to.
Maybach
music, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if anybody wants to send us a $50,000 reigning champ Pop a Shot, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll find somewhere to put it.
Yeah, we'll take it. So just let us know. Yeah. You're out there. You've got an extra
50 grand to spare.
You got 50 bands you're willing to drop on the boys and just didn't feel like getting on Patreon. This is your opportunity right here. Send us this reigning champ Pop a Shot. Today's episode is also brought to you by thefreezepipe.com. Smoking doesn't have to hurt. Upgrade to a freeze pipe today to experience ice smooth clouds without the throat burn, chest pain, or coughing attacks. Freeze Pipe is an American owned glass brand that makes a unique line of freezable pipes, bubblers, and bongs that cool smoke by over 300 degrees. It's a lot, Cade. The secret is freezable glycerin chambers that come on every piece. You simply pop one of these chambers in the freezer for 1 hour. Then when you light up and smoke passes through, it's instantly chilled for a pain-free and refreshing experience. Glycerin is a non-toxic gel that freezes quicker than water and stays frozen longer. Smoking a freeze pipe is like putting ice cubes in your bong if those ice cubes took steroids and played baseball in the 1990s. If you're still smoking out of a regular-ass piece without glycerin chambers that make every hit as smooth as silk, you are living in the past. The future is now, old man. It's time to get yourself a freeze pipe. They sent Cade and I a big-ass box filled with a bunch of their different products, like this little bubbler that's in front of me, or the big boy bong that's behind me, or the pipe next to it. So each of them has like this piece that's got the glycerin in it. You can see it's liquid. And you take that piece, you stick it in the freezer for an hour, you pull it back out, boom, you're ready to go. These things are incredible. Absolutely love them. You and your lungs deserve one. Say goodbye to harsh smoke and coughing attacks by shopping the smoothest pipes, bubblers, and bongs and more at thefreezepipe.com and use code RBP for 10% off your entire order. That's thefreezepipe.com. Code RBP for 10% off. Link and code in the description of this episode. Priced affordably with free domestic shipping. Order today and start fighting fire with ice.
Grab your light, this is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
All right, today's Stuff to Wikipedia when you're high is death from laughter. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, no, neither did I. I'm curious to hear what it's all about.
It says death from laughter is an extremely rare form of death. Oh, good. Usually resulting from either cardiac arrest or asphyxiation that has itself been caused by a fit of laughter. So if you needed another reason to be anxious, It turns out you can laugh hard enough to cause yourself to asphyxiate or go into cardiac arrest and die. It says, though uncommon, death by laughter has been recorded from the times of ancient Greece to modern times, and I'll, of course, provide you with some examples shortly. It says, laughter is normally harmless. However, death may result from several pathologies that deviate from benign laughter. So there's, you know, like how you can have a tumor and go get it checked out, and they're like, oh, it's benign.
Yeah.
It's not harmful. It's fine. It turns out there's a category of laughter that is benign.
Was that just like a little chuckle?
I guess just any version of laughing that doesn't end in you dying.
Oh, okay.
It says, infarction of the pons and the medulla oblongata in the brain may cause the pseudo-bulbar effect. Asphyxiation caused by laughter leads the body to shut down from the lack of oxygen. I'll say I have laughed, like had a full-on laughing fit to the point of like struggling to breathe before. And I think if that happens, you're on the road
to death.
Like if you don't figure out a way to calm down, like that's what's next, is you full on asphyxiate and die. So it's good to know that I've almost been there before. Here's some notable cases. Zixis? Z-E-U-X-I-S.
Zeuxis?
He's a 5th century BC Greek painter with just an absolutely impossible to pronounce name. He's said to have died laughing at the humorous way in which he painted an old woman.
Sounds like he was the first person to ever make a caricature of someone.
It does, and it killed him.
It killed him.
He died for us to have that kind of painting. Also, you have to feel bad for this old woman. When she showed up to get her portrait done, the guy started painting her and then started laughing so hard that he literally fell over and died. She's just like, I've been sitting here for three and a half hours.
Didn't even get to finish it, yeah.
I've only got one leg in that picture. You didn't get the next one. Bummer.
Yeah.
Zeuxis. Next person, also a name that is impossible to pronounce. Chrysippus. Chrysippus. Also known as, quote, the man who died from laughing at his own joke. Is a 3rd century BC Greek Stoic philosopher who died of laughter after he saw a donkey eating his fermented figs. Doesn't seem that funny. He told a slave to give the donkey undiluted wine to wash them down, and then, quote, having laughed too much, he died. He might have been high, because that's not that funny
not to us, but in 3rd century BC.
There just wasn't that much going on.
Yeah.
You saw a donkey eating unfermented figs and just fucking lost it.
Yeah.
Funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't have, like, Seinfeld or a Superbad movie
or
to watch.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
It's true. This is like something you would see in Family Guy, one of these references. In 1989, during the initial run of the film A Fish Called Wanda, a 56-year-old Danish audiologist named Ole Benson reportedly laughed himself to death. That's sad. This guy went out watching A Fish Called Wanda. I mean, it's funny.
I mean, I heard it's pretty hilarious.
It's not super bad. No. Family Guy.
I mean, I feel like how good a comedy is should be determined by how many people have died from
watching
laughing.
It. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the ultimate measuring stick.
Yeah. And I think that's number one right now. That's the funniest comedy of all time.
Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah.
On March 24th, 1975, Alex Mitchell from King's Lynn, England, died laughing while watching the Kung Fu Capers episode of The Goodies, featuring a kilt-clad Scotsman with his bagpipes battling a master of the Lancastrian martial art, Ecky Thump, who was armed with black pudding. After 25 minutes of continuous laughter, Mitchell slumped on the sofa and died from heart failure. His widow later sent The Goodies a letter, which I'm assuming The Goodies is a TV show.
Yeah.
His widow, okay, so this guy dies laughing at The Goodies. And then his wife writes The Goodies a letter thanking them for making Mitchell's final moments of life so pleasant.
Something tells me that marriage
was not in a good place.
Yeah. And she was like, hey, thanks for killing my husband. Really appreciate that.
I mean, and on the other hand, maybe this isn't such a bad way to go.
No, there are worse ways to go. Like, if I do die from laughter, like, I feel like that's a good way to go out.
Yeah, at least you were happy while you were approaching
but
death.
Also, yeah, 25 minutes of just straight laughing, like, something is clearly wrong. Like, not sure what the wife was saying. Just like, you know, let
what's she supposed to do?
I don't. Well, I guess they didn't know that you could die from laughter.
Yeah.
See, we're informing everyone now. So, like, if someone is laughing just a little too long,
you got to stop them.
Yeah.
Step in and do something that's not funny.
Yeah.
Bring up something
super serious.
The opposite of laughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says, diagnosis of this guy's granddaughter, in 2012 of having the inheritable long QT syndrome, which is like a heart rhythm abnormality. It suggests that Mitchell may have died of cardiac arrest caused by the same condition. So I guess there's also certain pre-existing conditions that you really got to be careful how long you laugh, because that could be it. Could be done.
That's one of the factors. Okay.
Another example, during the night of October the 30th, 1965, in Manila, Philippines, a 24-year-old carpenter who was well known for making his companions laugh was telling jokes to his friends. The joke, which the carpenter's friends told to the police, was so funny that it caused the carpenter to fall in an uncontrollable fit of laughter, from which he then fainted, was brought to the hospital, but died before he could be given medical help.
But what was the joke?
I cannot believe they didn't include it here.
They didn't include the joke.
Like, the same logic behind me not understanding how the fuck the icon of the seas doesn't tell us which records their water slides broke. How do you not include the joke here? They told the cops the joke. What, the cops wouldn't share the joke with everyone else? Were they scared that's the joke that will, like, kill everyone?
Yeah. Maybe so. It's a joke that's too powerful.
Like a pandemic.
To ever be heard again.
It's like it's like the tape in The Ring. You know, anybody who watches the tape in The Ring, seven days later, they die.
Yeah.
Anybody who hears this joke
dies.
Dies. Well, then I guess how could it get passed along? Maybe all those cops died too. The cops that got told the joke.
But none of the carpenter friends died.
That's true. Yeah. We got to find this joke.
Maybe they're immune.
Maybe we can share it on Patreon later this week if we can get a hold of it. Mm-hmm. But it killed that guy. Sad. In 1660, good God, that's a long time ago, Thomas Urquhart, the Scottish aristocrat, polymath, and the first translator of Francois Rabelais' writings into English, well, that's very specific, we all know what that's referencing, is said to have died laughing upon hearing that Charles II had taken the throne.
He said, not my king.
Yeah, I guess that was a big enough joke for him that he... That was it. Last one he'd ever heard. He ever hear. It fucking went down right there, man.
Yeah. Ross, it sounds like we need to step it up a little bit because we haven't
killed anybody to our knowledge.
No,
we're not doing our jobs.
We could be the first podcast to ever kill someone.
That's a good point.
From laughter.
That needs to be our goal henceforth. Yeah. Every episode, we set out with the intention of killing at least one of you by making you laugh so hard. That's the last time you laugh.
It's a noble sacrifice because you might lose one listener, but we'll gain so many more.
That's true.
Yeah.
That will replace them. And frankly, I don't feel like we can be charged. This is a guilt. It's a consequence-free crime.
Mm-hmm.
Just murder by jokes.
Yeah. It also sounds like, or I guess for the people watching the movie and shows, it was all like, their own jokes that killed them.
A lot of people laughing at their own jokes, it turns out.
Which is what I do a lot of the time, too, because people don't get my jokes sometimes, so it's just like me laughing.
Well, that's how good. Also, when you do a podcast, it's usually, you know, we say stuff and then we laugh at it. It's just us.
Yeah,
here.
We're just... No, we're going to be the ones that die.
We're going to die. It's going to be us.
Yeah.
One of us is going to drop. If it's me, Cade, continue the show. At least finish the episode.
Okay.
With me dead here.
Yeah, I'll just keep reading the outline.
I'll be slumped over on my laptop, but you gotta at least finish that episode.
Okay.
All right, make that solemn promise to me.
I got you.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate that. That will do it for today's show, but remember, Cade and I will be back later this week with another ad-free premium episode of all new content available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, just like we do every week, where we almost always take hotline calls from listeners who throw all kinds of crazy shit at us. Lately, we've been literally discussing how shit gets from your toilet to like the wastewater management place. And we've had all kind of experts, including like a civil engineer and a plumber who's married to a wastewater management employee, call in, and a member of Twin Stunts as well, which was huge.
Yeah, just an expert panel.
Yeah, really, that's what we do on Patreon. We gather expert panels of people to explore humorous topics, such as where your poo goes. And we solve those problems, and we try to move forward. Some of you may remember we once decided to settle on solving the issue of how you clean your asshole in the shower. We solved that one. So we're just doing it, is what we're doing. On patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Get in there, support the show. Enjoy twice as much RBP every week. You get these episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or whatever, but we do an episode every week on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast that is available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. It's just $5 a month to join the RBP gang, officially support our show, and make sure we can continue to ask the hard questions and answer them. I just knocked over the bubbler.
Oh, no.
That freeze pipes and does. It's fine. It's a very sturdy product, as you see.
It's good. Yeah, it's not going to break.
No, not easily.
No.
I mean, I think it could break. It's glass.
Yeah.
You're not saying it's unbreakable.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not trying to make that claim.
Okay, good.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like we have legal authority to do that. Anyway, patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Also, support our sponsors. Obviously, this week we had Liquid IV. Go to liquidiv.com and use code Ross when you check out for 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today. And then a new sponsor, thefreezepipe.com. Code RBP for 10% off when you go grab yourself a glycerin featuring smoking device. Do it for your lungs, you know?
Yeah, because, no, smoking doesn't have to hurt.
It doesn't have to hurt.
No.
Not with Freeze Pipe.
Absolutely not.
TheFreezePipe.com. Code RBP for 10% off. Check out our other shows. Go to BolandMedia.com. Right now on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and movie podcast, we are covering True Detective Night Country, True Detective Season 4. And we're halfway through. 3 episodes into the 6-episode season. Having a good time. Barrett and I are your hosts there on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Go give it a listen if you're watching True Detective Night Country and want to further enhance your experience as a viewer, because that's what we do there, kid. We make your favorite TV shows even better. If you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can. And if you're an F1 fan, check out Jared J-Bone Borislow's Formula Bone. Available everywhere you get RBP, but mainly you should subscribe on youtube.com/@FormulaBone, where he's got over 120,000 subscribers. J-Bone, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Mr. Oris, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Oris. That's KadeOris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media, and video of today's show, available on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast, was produced by Cade Oris. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting our show. Until next time, peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.